Affairs meeting to order. Today we have Senator Thomas is here. We have two other senators that are going to be joining us later. That's Senator Stevens and Senator Wagner, and Senator Kukish has been excused for the day. I see in the audience we have Senator Wilkin from Fairbanks, who's certainly got an interest in this. If you'll come on up here and care to join us up here at the front table here.
They've got a seat
for the maximum TV coverage we got, especially since we're both running this next year.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Olson.
Today we're going to be hearing an overview from the Local Boundary Commission. With us today is Darrell Hargraves, the chairman of the commission, and he will present the overview. Do we have anything else to discuss before we get into the overview?
No.
Mr. Hargraves, please, as a person that I've known for the last, ever since I was a little kid, being a, I guess you were the superintendent up in Nome, I certainly value your experience over the last number of years and your experience that you bring to the commission.
You want to talk about when you were a little kid, do you?
No. No, those are the good old days.
Well, with that aside, it is a pleasure, Mr. Chairman, to be here in front of you to share with you the activities of the Local Boundary Commission.
Before you get too far, Mr. Hargraves, would you please identify yourself for the record?
Darrell Hargraves, Chair of the Local Boundary Commission. I serve on the commission at large. And, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to ask our staff, Dan Bockhorst, to come up with me. When you ask those hard technical questions, I'd like to be able to refer to him.
Mr. Bockhorst, please. If you'd like to introduce any other others from the commission or related staff members.
We'll have a place here in the report where I'd like to introduce them to you.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Hargraves.
Chairman Olson, members of the committee, good afternoon. I am Darrell Hargraves, Chair of the Local Boundary Commission. I appreciate this opportunity to be before you to present the activities, the aspirations, and hopes of the Local Boundary Commission for the future. The Local Boundary Commission report for this legislative session has been provided to each member of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee prior to our meeting. I would commend that report to you and to the staff. We find that each year this report contains quite a bit of educational information in it, things that perhaps you and your staff would like to bone up on and use as a resource. We'd commend it to you for that purpose. The Commission's report this year addresses three principal areas. Chapter 1 provides an overview of the Commission. Chapter 2 summarizes municipal boundary activities for 2006 along with pending proposals. And Chapter 3 discusses public policy issues of interest to the Commission. I'll speak briefly on each of these three sections of the report. I can take questions, or I can get through this and answer your questions at the end. So either way you want to conduct the meeting.
Okay, we will ask questions as we have them, but we don't.
Okay. Among approximately 100 state boards and commissions, the Local Boundary Commission is one of two executive branch boards named in our Constitution. The other is the University of Alaska Board of Regents. The framers of our Constitution provided for the Boundary Commission in an effort to ensure that municipal boundary actions would be dealt with objectively and from a statewide perspective. The framers recognized that city and borough governments as political subdivisions of the state government were critical to the efficient and effective delivery of public services. The Commission's responsibilities include judging proposals for incorporation of cities and boroughs, annexation to cities and boroughs, detachments from cities and boroughs, reclassifications of cities, the dissolution of cities and boroughs, and merger and consolidation of cities and boroughs. To summarize, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, any time a city wants to change its status in any way, add to, take away, change incorporation, this Local Boundary Commission is likely to get involved in it. The Commission has other mandatory duties established by law. These include an obligation to make studies of local government boundary problems and adopt regulations establishing standards and procedures for boundary actions. The Commission has 5 members. 1 member is appointed from each of Alaska's 4 judicial districts. The fifth member is appointed at large and serves as the chair. At this time, I'd like to introduce the other four members of the commission. These commissioners are Bob Hicks. Mr. Bob Hicks is the vice chair from Seward, representing the 3rd Judicial District. Mr. Bob Hacharik is from Beryl, the 2nd Judicial District. Mr. Tony Nakazawa is from Fairbanks, and he represents the 4th Judicial District. And Georgiana Zimmerly is from Ketchikan, the 1st Judicial District. As appointed at large, I reside in Wasilla. These are the people that represents the state on this local boundary commission. The governor appoints members for overlapping 5-year terms. Members serve at the pleasure of the governor. Commission members offer their time as a public service. We receive no compensation for that service. The Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development provides staff support to the commission, and Mr. Dan Bockhorst is the main contact with the state department people. The activities of this past year, Mr. Chairman, is in Chapter 2 of the report. It outlines the various municipal boundary activities throughout Alaska. Reported activities range from those involving formal petitions filed with the commission to prospective proposals being contemplated at the local level. For 2006, reported activities related to city incorporation with activities at some level in 6 different communities. In one of these cases, the commission acted as a formal petition to incorporate a second-class city government in Nocatee, a community of about 105 residents on the Prince of Wales Island in the unorganized borough. We've dealt with city annexations. Something like 10 city governments have stepped forward and inquired at various levels about the possibility of annexations, and some of those are ongoing at the current time. There have been city dissolutions. Let me say, on the other hand, that we didn't actually accomplish any dissolutions this past year. Some years ago, we saw an interest and a problem with some of the second-class cities, and there was considerable activity in the dissolution of some of those second-class cities. At the present time, we don't have any hard information that there's anyone in serious trouble or seriously contemplating a dissolution of one of those cities. So things are not quite as extensive there as it maybe was a few years ago.
Mr. Hargreaves, how many communities have asked for dissolution or have inquired of dissolution over the last year compared to the last 5 years?
Well, in the past year, what I was indicating is I don't think we've had any. Prior to 5 years, mm-hmm. We would have had several.
Okay. And how many communities are delinquent in some of their reporting to the
Let me refer to Dan here, Dan Bockhorst, staff, as to the if we have problems anywhere, I don't know about.
Mr. Bockhorst, please. Did you understand the question?
I did. For the record, my name is Dan Bockhorst. I'm an employee of the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, service staff to the commission. As far as the commission is concerned, which is my principal responsibilities, there, as the chairman indicated, there are no petitions pending and no current active consideration of dissolution that I am aware of. There are reports that the commission and the commission staff have not been involved in the development of that have been prepared over the past 2 or 3 years that I've seen that have suggested that there are a number of communities that have experienced or are experiencing some difficulties with respect to various financial aspects. But Senator, I'm not prepared to discuss that today. I would be more than happy to follow up and get copies of any reports. But again, my principal role is serving as staff to the commission, and there are no active dissolution proposals under consideration.
Just so I'm clear in my mind, Mr. Bockhorst, how long does a community remain delinquent in reports before action is taken outside of the community for either assistance to help them get the reports in order or to some type of penalties for that? Or are there penalties?
Dissolution.
There is a statutory obligation for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to investigate municipal governments that are considered to be inactive. Mm-hmm. And again, at this point, there is no municipal government that is being investigated in that context. There is a pretty substantial effort ongoing in other elements of the department to provide technical assistance and management assistance in operation of utilities and other day-to-day functions of local governments. But again, the Local Boundary Commission is not involved in those activities.
Okay.
The lack of such activity, this is Darrell Hargraves,
Let's Chair. Just wait till Senator Stevens gets seated, because actually one of the communities I was going to ask about is in his district, which happens to be Ivanoff Bay. And so welcome to the committee, Senator Stevens.
Thanks, sir.
We got the message you were going to be late, and so we've gotten into the Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 of the report that the Local Boundary Commission has put together. I guess you have a comment on Ivanoff Bay. I was there a couple of years ago, and I think there was a half a dozen kids in school, and now I think there may not be even anybody there living year-round. Maybe you're not familiar with it.
We don't apparently know too much about that. Is it a second-class city? Well, apparently they've not made known any problems to our department, so I think that the lack of activity regarding dissolution would indicate to us that things are holding pretty well in those small rural second-class communities, and there's just not much activity there these days. The LBC is involved with city reclassifications, borough incorporations when a community wants to consider a borough, and we've had 16 areas within the state this last year that has had some level of activity with regards to borough incorporation. These petitions, three of these petitions for borough incorporation were pending before the LBC last year in 2006, and four other regions were the subject of formal borough studies. We've had borough annexations to deal with. One borough annex position is currently pending before the commission at this time. We've had borough detachments, interest in borough detachments at least, and these were expressed by six boroughs during 2006. No case has there been a formal petition filed. We've had activities with consolidation. The activities regarding consolidation of local governments was evident in two instances. In one of these cases, the Local Boundary Commission acted as on a petition for consolidation of the city of Ketchikan and the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. And so that took a great deal of energies in this past year on our part. This year, we've had a major activity with revising and redoing the regulations of the Local Boundary Commission. It's been over a decade since extensive work has been done on these regulations, and so we committed a priority to that this past year. The result of that has been that we've gone through extensive rewrites. We've had extensive hearings. When we leave our meetings here in Juneau today, tomorrow, we'll be fanning out across the state and going to places like Nome, Dillingham, Cordova, Craig. We'll also have a site here in Juneau, but we'll be making a second attempt to have hearings that will allow people across the entire state to speak to those regulations. We would encourage you and your members of your staff to get those regulations as they've been proposed for revision and phone in and join us in those hearings. That's on Thursday, Thursday of this week, and those start at 10 o'clock. So we need to hear from a lot of people that are interested in this area.
What's the community that these hearings are to be held in, Mr. Hargraves?
We'll have sites in Nome, Dillingham, Bethel, Cordova, Craig, and Juneau.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the Chapter 3 of this is where we set forth some policy issues. In some ways, this is the place where the rubber meets the road. This is where we get to some specifics that we would commend to you for your consideration. And some of you that have been on these committees in past years will have heard some of this before, but we bring them again to you, and we're pleased to see that some legislation is being talked about for this year, for this session. Chapter 3 raises the five public policy issues of particular interest to the Local Boundary Commission. These relate to increasing difficulties in rendering borough boundary decisions. It's not just a cut-and-dried case that we can judge some of these factors with. And of course, we believe that revision of regulations will help that to some extent. But it just needs to be understood that it's a huge job for the commission, for the petitioners, and for everyone when we judge borough boundary decisions. The general lack of incentives for borough incorporation. We think that we've proposed now for the third year that we look heartily toward incentives. There could be some sticks, some negative kinds of things that could be imposed to encourage borough incorporation, but certainly incentives to help in that area is something we would present to you. The absence of standards and methods for establishment of unorganized boroughs. Funding for borough feasibility studies. You've done some good things in the past to help studies be done, the feasibility studies, and we're encouraging you again to keep in mind that there might be a need for some funding to help with those feasibility studies in some other areas. The fifth item, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, is compensation for members of this local boundary commission. In the early 90s, you received about 3 years in a row proposals, the legislature received proposals for compensation of this local boundary commission. We'll have a few things to say about that as the last item in our discussion. The first three issues are closely tied to one another, and I'll address them collectively. Increasing difficulties in rendering borough boundary decisions, the general lack of incentives for borough incorporation, the absence of standards and methods for establishing of unorganized boroughs. Article 10, Section 3 of our Constitution calls for all of Alaska to be divided into boroughs. Boroughs may be organized or unorganized. Boroughs, both organized and unorganized, are to be established according to standards and methods set in law. Our Constitution calls for minimum numbers of boroughs. It was felt practical that we keep as many administrative units, the smaller number as possible. It also requires that each borough embrace an area and population with common interest to the maximum degree possible. In 1963, there was only one tiny borough that got formed in this state. It stepped forward and under its own petition to be organized as a borough. Recognizing the need to implement the borough form of government, this legislature, the 1963 legislature, with the endorsement of Governor Egan, enacted a law mandating that eight specific regions of the state form boroughs. At the time, the eight regions encompassed about 80% of the Alaskans that were present at that time. Today, the figure has grown slightly to 84% of all Alaskans reside in those boroughs that were mandated. It's noteworthy that a majority of the members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee live in boroughs that were mandated by the 1963 legislature. After 1963, the state returned to the policy of voluntary borough incorporation. It was left up to boroughs to step forward, and some have, some did, and some have. The North Slope Borough is one that stepped forward, and they organized from their own reasons. There's a common misperception that unorganized areas cannot afford to operate boroughs. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, There have been studies done by the Local Boundary Commission, the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, as well as those done by independent consultants, which indicates that while that perception is accurate with respect to a few areas, in fact, it is not correct in many other areas. You have what I've come to refer to as some hot spots in this state where the wealth per capita exceeds what's in many current organized boroughs. And so with the right incentives and the right approach in those local areas, perhaps we could see people need and want, desire, the independence, the local control that would come with organization of incorporation. In response to these circumstances, the Commission endorses legislative action to, number one, reform the policy regarding borough incorporation. Number two, establish meaningful incentives for areas of the state to form organized boroughs and establish standards and methods for the creation of multiple regional unorganized boroughs. The fourth item in that Chapter 3 is funding for borough feasibility studies. The fourth policy issue raised in the Commission's report this year concerns funding for those borough feasibility studies. Last year, the legislature appropriated $237,500 for borough studies in four regions. However, no source of funding for new borough studies is in place at this time. The Commission urges the legislature to continue to fund such studies. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we have staff, Mr. Bockhorst, that can be relied on to contact to find out what activity might be possible there and where such feasibility studies might be needed, and can help direct you with places that need to be funded. The last item in that chapter has to do with compensation for members of the Local Boundary Commission, and it's a little bit difficult for us to go on record saying that we need to be paid. But Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this past year has shown us that the amount of time that's put into this is really beyond what is almost possible or reasonable for a volunteer group of people. The last policy issue is simply the compensation for the members of this commission. The growing number of proposals coming before the commission, the complexity of these proposals, means that the unpaid members of the commission are devoting an increasingly significant amount of time to carry out the business of the commission. In one proceeding alone, one member reported that he had devoted some 350 hours to that one matter. That is the equivalent it's nearly 9 40-hour work weeks. And there have just been numerous things that's taken considerable time. Now, we're not proposing that you make us salaried members of the state. We're not trying to become salaried state employees. But we do recognize that on the list of boards and commissions that govern this state and work with you and with the state, there are those who are paid a stipend, perhaps an amount per meeting, something that lets those members know that their work is appreciated. It's not that we feel unappreciated, but we haven't proposed that you'll get better quality people if you somehow start paying a little bit. But it's perhaps would let us know that the work is appreciated if something were paid. The commission members feel that some measure of compensation should be extended to the commission. We simply put it in your laps and let it rest with you. That concludes my prepared remarks, and we'll speak to anything that we've said here today. Most everything, as we've stated here, is found in the report, and the policy issues are all in that chapter number 3.
Mr. Bockhorst, do you have anything to add to the presentation?
Senator, the only, just to follow up on your inquiry about Ivanhoe Bay, it is an unincorporated community in Lake and Peninsula Borough, so there is no issue before the Local Boundary Commission in terms of dissolution of that, because there is no city government there.
Anything else you want to say before we start into the questions? Any questions from the committee members of Mr. Bockhorst or Mr. Hargreaves? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Chairman Olson. I'm surprised that these things don't take place. You know, I was looking at the activity and wondering how many had actually incorporated new boroughs, this and that, over this 43-year period from the existing eight. So I guess that's my first question. How many from the, I'm not even sure that's the right time frame, but thereabouts anyhow, there were initially eight that were mandatory after the first one joined or formed on its own. Is that correct, or am I misunderstanding what took place?
1963 Act would have incorporated how many?
Eight.
And since that, you've had another, what, three or four?
Through the chair, there have been seven incorporations of boroughs following the 1963 Mandatory Borough Act, and there was one that preceded it.
Okay.
But in terms of numbers, so out of there's a total of 16 organized boroughs in Alaska. In terms of numbers, eight of them were mandated by the state legislature in 63, and eight of them have formed voluntarily. But in terms of population, it's pretty dramatically distinct between the areas that were mandated. If you look at the population of the state as a whole, 84% of Alaskans live in the eight mandatorily formed boroughs. 4% of Alaskans, a little bit under 4% of Alaskans, live in the eight boroughs that were formed voluntarily.
So if I might, so about 16% of the population lives in the remaining unincorporated areas, or does that not include cities? And
percent.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe before we go on, I should ask some the other commissioners if they want to come up and say anything as part of the overview. We've got representative from Barrow to Ketchikan. So it certainly covers throughout the state places that are they're representing. Mr. Hartsharik?
I have nothing to say, sir. Chairman Hargreaves explained it very well, our position. It's just the frustration with not being able to form more boroughs in the unorganized areas.
Okay. Ms. Zimmerly?
Mr. Chairman, thank you, members of the committee. I just want to say that Chairman Hargreaves has given our report, and I think our report is very well written in a concise way, but I just want to say that we all stand ready to assist with any project you want us to do, any insight, any input you want us to give.
Before you go any farther, could you come up to the microphone so that the people that are either listening online or want a record of it, and just identify yourself for the record, if you would, please.
Yes. I'm Georgiana Zimmerly, and I am the commissioner representing the First Judicial District from Ketchikan. My background is in local government. I was in local government for 27 years, so mm-hmm. I have a lot of experience, and I'm ready to help and assist. And we had a meeting before we came here today, and I think every member of the commission is ready and willing and able to assist you with what we presented to you, trying to get resolution to some of our problems and some of the state's problems. And we appreciate your hearing us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I really do appreciate the work of the LBC, and I know the time and effort it must take to and I've had a chance in the past to hear the various activities. I know it's a difficult, and you've given a lot to the state, and I certainly appreciate that. Can you, have we, unless I missed it, I read a little late, but have we talked about the potential new boroughs at all, Mr. Chairman?
No.
Could you comment on, it seems to me like last time we talked seriously, there were two or three mining areas that were about to be formed. Can you give us an update on the situation in those potential boroughs?
Mr. Chairman, we do have one or two petitions in front of us that are be hearing in the next few days. Members of the commission won't speak to those petitions, but Mr. Bockhorst can answer your question sufficiently.
Through the chair, there are two petitions that are currently pending before the local boundary commission for incorporation of new boroughs. One is to create a unified borough government in the Delta Greeley Regional Educational Attendance Area, headquartered in Delta Junction. The Local Boundary Commission will be conducting a public hearing on that proposal in approximately 2 weeks. There is another petition pending before the commission for incorporation of a Wrangell area borough. In addition to that, there is a petition pending before the commission for annexation of territory to an existing organized borough, the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. Beyond that, there are formal borough studies that are ongoing and nearly complete in areas encompassing the Cuspuck REAA, Regional Educational Attendance Area. There's a borough feasibility study that's being conducted with regard to the Chatham Glacier Bay region. There's a study being conducted that was funded by the state legislature last year to examine the fiscal viability of detaching the Eagle River Chugiak area from the municipality of Anchorage and forming a separate borough out of that existing borough. In addition to that, there is a study that is nearly complete with regard to forming a borough in the Yukon Flats region in the unorganized borough. Beyond that, the community of Petersburg and adjoining communities in that vicinity of the state are in the final efforts of preparing a petition for incorporation of a borough. The last that I spoke with officials in that region is they anticipated that the petition might be filed with the Local Boundary Commission in 2 to 3 months. And beyond that, there are other communities and regions in the state that are looking at borough formation and not quite at the level that I detailed here, but they are discussed in the report. There's a separate section in there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the update.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this brings up one point that we talk about incentives. That could be reflected with cash money. That could be reflected by lands, timber resources. But one of the things that, and quite frankly, stimulates people locally the most, I think, is to start some kind of resource development. And when that gets started, I think people begin to see the need for protection of it. Doing it their way, being in charge, having local control. So that becomes a huge incentive for borough incorporation.
Senator Wilkin had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan, back to what you were speaking of earlier on new boroughs, could you give us an update on the issue of the Donlin Mine area, regional government being formed? Where is that?
The prospective Donlin Creek development is in the Cuspuck model borough boundary, the Cuspuck REAA. Those are two identical areas. The boundaries are coterminous. And the borough feasibility study on that is nearing completion. It was funded by the state legislature last year at a cost of $60,000. And I do understand that there is potentially interest in going a step beyond the study area, that there is some serious interest in exploring the prospect of forming a borough. I must apologize. I also, in terms of listing the borough activities, I forgot to mention that late last year and earlier in this year, the Local Boundary Commission also approved the incorporation of a Skagway borough, which involves the dissolution of the city of Skagway and the formation of a borough with boundaries identical to those of the city.
Okay. All right. Mr. Hicks, did you want to address the committee?
No, Mr. Chairman, I think we've rehearsed our own chairman pretty well here in his presentation.
Okay. And just to remind me, is Seward within a borough?
Well, Seward,
yeah,
yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. Mr. Nakazawa.
Whoa. In my district, I just thought you were.
I'm sorry.
That's a young tree, but I don't have any comments.
What's that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, these commission members.
Hang on just a second there. Go ahead, Mr. Hargraves.
these commission members have a high level of expertise in their own individual rights in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to our staff person, Mr. Bockhorst, we would commend all of those folks to you as a resource in any developing legislation you and your staff want to check on.
Okay.
You can start with Dan, you can get to me, and we can refer you to members of the commission who have special interest and expertise to help you.
Good. Okay, we do have one person that wants to go ahead and testify. So if you'd make room for Mr. Tim Barcy to come on up here from Skagway.
I think I've been dismissed.
Okay.
Thank you, members of the committee. I apologize for my attire. I wasn't planning on being here this afternoon, but I took the opportunity because I was here. I certainly...
Before we get started, Mr. Barcy, would you identify yourself?
Yes, I'm sorry.
And
my name's,
who you're with.
My name's Tim Barcy. I am the mayor of the city of Skagway, or soon to be the municipality of Skagway, the first borough that has been formed in quite a long time. I have... a tremendous amount of experience with the process and what it takes to actually go through and become a borough. It is extremely expensive, it is extremely time-consuming, and it is not always the most favorable process. I, you know, stand behind the concept of organizing the state. I think it's important. I think it's important to the future of the state. I think we do have problems with the way the organization is happening and the way it is set up. We have 18 standards in order to incorporate as a borough that you need to qualify to become that. And they're fairly big hoops, and I think the majority of them are appropriate hoops. I do believe, though, that... one of the major problems that we have is that there is kind of an idea of what a borough should be, and that idea is kind of being laid on top of the state. There are numerous areas within the state of Alaska that are ready, willing, and able to form boroughs. They are not being able to form because of some of these regulations. And I would say that the one that is probably the most outstanding is the model borough boundaries. And I know that is put out there as it's just kind of a guideline, but it's a lot more than that when it's actually applied on the ground. I think if the legislature relaxed the way they look at it and allowed the state to form naturally, these areas would organize. Southeast would organize fairly rapidly. You have Wrangell and Petersburg that want to organize. You have Cake, Hoonah, and Goon that are looking at a borough. You have areas like Valdez. I mean, having gone through this process, which has been over 6 years for the city of Skagway, we hear from a lot of people, and a lot of people have been watching the Skagway petition go through the process, and a lot of people are like, why would we bother with what you guys have gone through? Why would we bother to spend the time and the energy just to get kicked in the face? And I don't really have an answer for those people. But I think that we need to allow it to happen. We need to create incentives. It probably has cost the city of Skagway over $200,000. And I imagine when all the costs come in, it'll probably be above that. You know, last year I know we were all down here talking about the administrative borough and, you know, some of these incentives where you didn't even have to pay for a government. Well, that's not what we want. You know, we want governments to step forward. We want them to be functional. We want them to provide services. And, I think that that is ultimately the goal. The idea of the model borough boundaries was put out a long time ago. And, you know, the USSR no longer exists. The Berlin Wall is gone. Countries have changed. I mean, Alaska has changed. And I think we need to keep that in mind when we move forward with borough formation. There are some draft regulations, a regulatory rewrite for the Boundary Commission on to add some new regulations. I think it's over 180 pages. I don't think that's the right direction. I think it's just adding more layers, more regulations, and making it more difficult. And basically, you're going to build a box, and if you don't fit in that box, you will never be there. And if that's the way that the legislature wants to go, I would suggest an alternative. Forget the regulations and go out and write a piece of legislation that organizes the state and boroughs and get it done. I don't think it'll happen because I don't think the state, there's areas in the state that are never going to have the tax base, they're never going to have the resources to form, but there is the other 90% of the state that I think is quite capable of it. And I think given the incentives and given the opportunity that this state would form. And I would also like to agree with the commission. I think that these folks, I don't envy their position of where they have to be. I know when they came to Skagway this fall for our hearing, they were there for 3 days. And they were fortunate. They got out on the fourth day. I flew out 2 hours later and went as far as Haines and was stuck there for 5 days. So I think they, the amount of work they do, the amount of reading they have to do, they certainly deserve to be compensated in some manner. It's amazing. I mean, the amount of stuff that just in the Skagway petition alone is unbelievable. So I can't imagine when you offer everything else that comes along with it, these folks are doing a tremendous amount of work. So that's all I have for you.
Mr. Borsi, how long have you been the mayor of Skagway?
6 years.
6 years. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Glad you're here. I know this has been a long-term process. Could you just answer a few questions for us? What's the boundaries of the borough that you're creating right now? What were the major hurdles you had to overcome to move towards boroughization? And what were the incentives you were able to take advantage of, if any, to become a borough?
Well, I don't really know if there were. I mean, there's the incentives that were laid out in, you know, in statute that, you know, you can, you don't have to fund your school and you get money for actually forming the government, writing the charter. We actually declined those because in the first go-around of our hearing, those incentives were used as disincentives as to a reason why not to allow the Skagway petition to move forward because it was going to cost the state money. Mm-hmm. And we felt that, well, number one, you know, we have the ability to pay for our school, and we didn't want to walk away from that responsibility. And we also felt that we could afford to do the government. Other than that, there is no incentive. It is a cost. The boundary of the borough will be basically all the area that we can encompass that abuts up to the Haines borough and Canada. It also happens to be the boundaries of the city of Skagway, which in a prior effort, because we weren't ready to form a borough, we annexed Dyea. Mm-hmm. And so so it's 460 some square miles.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Probably don't want to talk much about Skagway because it's still an active issue till March 12th, but it would be helpful, Mayor, your comments, if you came forward with specifics, you've lived through it, it would be helpful for you to in bullets or paragraphs, put down what your thoughts on what should be changed. Not concepts. I'm talking right. About specific changes that you think should be made. I think that would be very helpful as we march forward in other places.
We certainly have been working on some of the regulation rewrite and making some comments with regard to the new regs.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further question for Mayor Borsi? If not, we'll go ahead and have Mr. Hargreaves back up again.
Thank you.
Mr. Hargreaves, I've got some questions for you, one of which you've brought up already, and maybe we'll end up, or we can even start off with some of the issue of some type of compensation to give to the commission members. We can start with that, or we can go on to some of the more pertinent issues that are much more pointed, as was pointed out by the mayor of Skagway. Where would you like to start?
Well, the compensation issue, we're at your disposal. I would ask, Mr. Chairman, that Dan come back up here and
offer. Mr. Bockhorst, would you please?
Support. But this matter of compensation.
Before you make sure we get your name and.
Darrell Hargreaves, Chair of the Local Boundary Commission. Let us be sure that we emphasize to you and to everyone concerned that we're not out after a salary. We're not trying to be state employees. I'm not sure how it works. But a stipend per meeting, a half-a-day meeting might be worth something, a day-long meeting might be worth something, something along the lines of the way you compensate other boards might be appropriate.
For example, Mr. Hargreaves, give me a board that's
compensated.
For example,
let me not state a specific one. You have a cluster of boards and that do receive compensation.
Sure.
I'm not sure how they're classified.
Mm-hmm.
But you could look at it kind of the way some of the other boards and municipal governments are compensated.
Mm-hmm.
Just a stipend for meetings. Perhaps a day-long meeting is worth something. Right now, we get travel expenses, and that includes a per diem that covers food and hotels. And well, the hotels are paid fully, but we get travel expenses now.
Mm-hmm.
And so some kind of stipend on top of that is probably what we're talking about. And again, we're not trying to make a bed for ourselves, Mr. Chair. We're apt to not be here in a few years and a new group will come in. We're not going to tell you that you'll get a better quality of commissioner if you'll pay something either. We're not trying to pull those things on you. We just simply say that if there could be some recognition with a form of stipend, it would certainly be appreciated.
Okay. On that same line, are there national boundary commission entities in other states that that address some of the issues that you've brought up, that our LBC brought?
Most
up?
Every state has some kind of planning commission. Keep in mind that most states are already all organized into, for example, counties. When you look at a map of Missouri, you see all these little squares and rectangles representing counties. Those were put into place when the state was formed and entered into the union. So you, the activity you have left that I'm familiar with would be like city has their own planning departments,
sure,
commissions. And
these statewide planning commissions that you alluded to, are they compensated with any kind of salaried positions, or are they given a stipend as well?
In some states, actually, some of those commissions are full-time professional people. Yes.
Okay. The last issue on that specific thing has to do with the audits. Has there been an audit recently of the LBC? And if there was, what did it show?
Any audit of LBC would be done in conjunction with the department. We don't have contained funds for even our travel. That's not set up as a specific category for LBC. It's in the department, and we just kind of take from them what we need to travel, for example.
Okay. The other question that I have as we start listening to Mayor Borsi from Skagway come out, he says that the process is very expensive, it's very time consuming. How can you expect, I guess, some of the rural areas that are out there to go ahead and enact some type of project that's, or to take on a project that's going to be several hundred thousand dollars and have the expertise to go ahead and put that kind of time into in order to get organized?
I think that some of those areas, quite frankly, could get some kind of a grant from the state legislature. These incentive grants that operate through the department are one thing, but perhaps, and I know that there have been specific appropriations to specific areas to do their planning and organization. Mm-hmm. Some communities have gotten grants from other sources, some private, even private grants to help them with their organization. I guess one thing they need to know is that after they do get incorporated, they've got some money coming by statute.
Sure. I understand that the incentives that are out there, but they're all after the fact. In fact, they're not that much.
We have been on the record in the past encouraging direct grants to, if they could show a high enough level of interest and show you they mean business, why not give them a grant ahead of time to help them get organized?
So you'd be in favor of regulations or statutes that would allow the incentives to be paid before the actual incorporation into the board?
Well, I'm not sure it's the same incentive, but an incentive of a grant to help them with their organization would be appropriate, I would think.
Okay.
Keep in mind that a lot of the work that's done by, I know that each case is individual, but sometimes the work that's going on at these local levels is to try to get all of the local participants in the same harness, getting them geared up. And by the time they come to the local boundary commission with a petition, they have done considerable effort, expense, and what have you. They've done a lot to get ready to make that presentation.
Mm-hmm. The last thing that I had to do with the roughly $250,000 that was spent for borough studies last year in 2006. What has been the final outcome, or what can I say that was bought for that $250,000?
Mr. Chair, could I refer to Mr. Bockhorst?
Mr. Bockhorst, please.
Follow those.
Mr. Chairman, that issue also arose this morning with the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. I mentioned there, and I'll mention here again, that the local boundary commission intentionally took a hands-off position with regard to the administration of those programs. It was assigned to other individuals in the Department of Community and Commerce, Community and Economic Development. The approach that was taken was to solicit proposals from private contractors to conduct the studies, and those studies are ongoing and nearing completion in every respect. I did provide to the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee co-chairs today a copy of the contracts, a copy of the request for proposals, and in one of the three cases where the department contracted, there is a draft public review copy of the borough study. There is a divide that exists between conducting the study and taking the next step to petition for borough incorporation. Mm-hmm. I indicated that in the case of the Cuspuck region, which was one of the three areas that the legislature funded last year, that study is nearing completion, and I have been advised that there is interest on the part of some in contemplating seriously the next step. With regard to the Chatham Glacier Bay area, I don't have a sense personally that there is that potential that the region is going to pursue borough incorporation,
mm-hmm.
At least in the context of that large region that is being studied. Now, certainly in the context or prospect of forming more multiple small boroughs, we certainly have had substantial interest on that issue. So it's a question of what size, but the area, the study area in question is the Glacier Bay Chatham region. And then the third area that was under the contract was to study the viability of detaching Eagle River north from the municipality of Anchorage and forming a separate borough. And again, that study has not been complete, and I don't know, can't predict accurately whether or not that will result in any petition. Mm-hmm. There was separately from the legislative funding, the department granted $30,000 to a group in the Yukon Flats region to do a borough feasibility study as well, and that study is not yet complete, but is nearing completion.
Oh. as we look at boroughs and some of the services they provide, especially for the people that within that area, we're cognizant of their value. I guess one of the things I was wondering about, what's the local boundary commission's view on some of the tribal governments that are out there, especially in light of the fact that these tribal governments are providing services that maybe the borough might get involved with. Public safety is one thing. I know up in Nome, there's been a major involvement with roads. Even the erosion problem that they're having up in Shishmaref, the local tribal government has gotten involved with that and has lent assistance.
Mr. Chairman, I think that when a petition comes to us, it's going through a process of working with and trying to get all of the players locally together. And so I don't think we have a position that we would say our position is this about native governments or their involvement in how it operates locally. The one thing that does lead me to is something that's not in this report, but we have had some discussions on it, and that is that we have money, lands, resources, timber as incentives. But, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if you could look at another type of incentive, it might be the outsourcing of state services to those local boroughs. Why couldn't a local borough, after it incorporated, even outsource jails or perhaps it's road maintenance or other medical clinics or Head Start or whatever the state's doing? But I personally see that, and it's only been discussed slightly with the members of the commission, but that is an incentive that perhaps you could limit it to boroughs and increase the outsourcing of state activities to those local boroughs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Certainly interesting things to think about. Any further questions, Senator Stevens?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's interesting to see the potential boroughs. Just if you talk about Delta, Wrangell, Ketchikan, Cuspuck, you're probably talking about something like 80% of the population of Alaska being involved in boroughs, I would guess, something like that. You might have a better estimate. But there's a currently there's
88%
is in boroughs. So if you take in those other areas, you're getting a pretty high percentage. Obviously, there are a lot of areas in Alaska that are decades or 900 years from being ready for a borough government. But if those next four or five were to come in, that'd be a pretty high percentage of the population, I would think. I just want to make the point that everyone should not be in a borough because often very rural areas are just too rural to form a government. But still, we can continue to work on these four or five.
Okay. Further questions, Senator Steele or Senator Wilkin?
If I could, and I thank you for your indulgence and let me join you today at the table on a subject I have great interest in. Two comments. One about the compensation. I'm thinking $150 a day. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but last year, if you remember, Mr. Chairman, at Senate Finance, we had a bill that was coming through with Alaska Housing Finance, and they wanted to change their board stipend, and that stalled in Finance for various reasons. But I'm looking at Sally because I would think that the department could go to Alaska Housing Finance and resurrect that bill. I think it was a favorable bill. It just needed a little more work and died at the end. But it leads to my next comment. But if there's a committee or a commission that deserves some sort of stipend, it's this one. And so I would perhaps lead the department to Alaska Housing to see if how they would craft that, because that really has to come from the executive branch. I had a delightful conversation with Mrs. Zimmerly this morning. At least I thought it was delightful. I hope she did. But, and maybe I could repeat maybe for the committee what I said to her and whom I just met this morning. This is the most difficult and probably, it is the most underappreciated commission that I know of in state government. It's so important that it's in our Constitution, and they had the vision that local government is the best government. And it's been difficult to get us to move us ahead, most of us we're worried about what's around the corner, and this commission The Local Boundary Commission is charged with looking what's over the horizon. We think about the next election, they're charged with thinking about the next generation and beyond. And that's really, really difficult, especially when you deal with issues that carry a lot of dogma and a lot of angst about change. And that's what we're talking about, is change. And we're change not for today, but the change for the next generation. We're the only state in the nation with unorganized areas. So as much as people would like to ignore local government, it does work, and it's the bedrock of our system in America. And it will be, over time, the bedrock of our system in Alaska. So this commission is charged with some very difficult decisions, and they work, because I've seen them work, across the state and giving of their time. And you all work hard, but I think it's important, Mr. Chairman, Senator Stevens, just to call out a couple of people today. Tony Nakazawa, thank you for your service. He's from my town, and he's going to move on and has moved to Palmer. And we're going to miss your input, but he's going to be, I'm sure the governor will continue with her good appointments and appoint someone that will fill your big shoes. But thank you, Tony. And to Commissioner Hicks, thank you for your work. Regardless of where you stood on the latest issue, one had to be impressed by your effort, your volunteer effort, to try to guide the discussion. It's one of the most extraordinary pieces of public service that I've seen. That was something. And so we should be proud of him and proud of you for what you did. Thank you for doing that. And the rest of you, thank you for your service. You know, it seems to me, and I'm kind of on the fringes of this, but it seems to me we're at a spot here that we can make our state a bunch of little boroughs, and when we do that, we disenfranchise. We don't bring to the surrounding area, whatever that may be, the benefit of the discussion, of the tension, of local government. And we're at the point, and we've just passed that first milestone, and we're heading for Donlin Creek, perhaps. We may be headed for Delta, where we carve out little enclaves of wealth. And those little wealthy areas are very happy, because they'll have a big tax base, they'll provide very little, if anything, of local support comes out of their wallet. But in the meantime, the people that are carved out, the people that aren't considered because we're thinking about what's around the corner and not what's over the horizon, those people 20 years or 40 years from now will look back and say, how come, what happened back there that we're not part of that? And so we're asking these five people to look out over that horizon. And Donlin Creek is coming at us, and there's going to be a group that wants Donlin Creek to be the sweet little borough, and without regard for that part of our state that you so well said, there's places in the state will be generations before they can support government. But if we allow these little pockets of wealth, there'll be even another generation before they get there, and you are spot on with that. So we have to be careful, and we've taken the first step with the current situation of starting that, and that's very distressing to me. Delta is very close to that in my mind. And if we save a gas line, it's going to go to the border. Areas that are not being part of that borough perhaps will never have the resources to have self-governance. So I would just hope that as you five march on, that you think about, and you're charged with it, and you will, think about, someone said, and it's a bit harsh, but it's probably true, the balkanization of Alaska. We don't want groups around our state. We want local government that spreads out people of common interest, common geography, common economic base. And that's what you folks are charged with. And goodness, it's a terribly difficult job, and you spend more time than anybody reading and taking on that task that if it requires anything, it requires persistence and vision. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for allowing me to pontificate and get on step. But I wanted to bring that to your attention, Mr. Chairman, and to the committee, because it's very important, and I thank you for your work.
Certainly, as we look at some of the issues that Senator Wilkin has brought up, there are the part of Alaska that wants to go ahead and organize and doesn't want to organize. But as was pointed out by him, the balkanization that has happened there that you quoted on page 90, I thought was a very interesting thing, because it was one of those, it's one of that areas that we want to make sure it didn't turn out prior to the amalgamation of that, where you've got a bunch of states and where you got to have a Tito out there to go ahead and try and put all the stuff together, or somebody from the Soviet Union coming in and dictating to them what they should do and what they shouldn't be doing prior to the drop of the Berlin Wall and those kind of issues. And so I want to make sure that that the bulk of the phone calls and concerns that I hear from areas that are not organized, that they're taken into consideration and not overrun by the USSR type people that were so dominant in that Balkan area prior to them coming together, and that their input, their votes should be taken and should be taken into consideration and have a heavy weighing on that, so it doesn't turn into a us versus them type of thing. Any further questions, Senator Stevens?
No, thank you, sir.
If there's nothing further, if there's no further business before the committee, then hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm.